Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation focuses on the race for U.S. Senate, and we are joined by Republican candidate Lauren Witzke. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us on Canada Conversations.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, let's start with why you decided to run for U.S. Senate. I guess what prompted you to get into this race?
So I'm running on an issue-based campaign. I'm running on an America First platform. I see a lot of things that are going on, especially in my state, that are not currently being addressed by our political class, things like the opioid epidemic, things like mass immigration, unemployment. And it seems that the system has made it as hard as possible for young Americans to get married and have children and have families and fair wages for their work. And I decided that the U.S. Senate seat was the perfect seat for me to be able to fight for Delawareans and people across the nation in helping build something better.
What should voters know about you that they may not glean immediately from looking at your website or doing a Google search of you?
So I'm a local Delaware girl. I grew up in Delmar. I graduated from Delmar High School. I graduated from Goldie Beacom College. I've spent my whole life here. And, you know, I have watched my state decline. You know, I'm in recovery myself. I see an opioid epidemic that is crippling our state. And as somebody who has walked through it myself, it's something that I plan to tackle head on as a candidate and as a U.S. senator. It is a priority for me to take on the opioid epidemic because it is something that has affected myself. So that is a little bit about me that people probably don't know, is that I am in active recovery, but I have just walked through things that millions of other Americans have walked through and experienced. And I bring a new perspective. I bring a real perspective and real solutions to the opioid epidemic.
Let's dive into some other issues. First, we'll start with, you know, how well do you feel the federal government, specifically Congress, has done in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic? And if there's still no readily available vaccines or well-established treatments for the virus by the end of this year, what would you want Congress to prioritize in an ongoing response if you were elected and joining the Senate in January?
You know, during the COVID response, we saw mass lockdowns, and we saw a Congress that could not agree on anything. We saw these policies that were trying to be implemented, stimulus packages for illegal aliens. It was, you know, what we need to do is focus on getting America back to work. We need to focus on getting them reopened. We need to also focus on ensuring that Americans get these jobs when we reopen. Our Congress was quick. People in Congress were quick to start importing foreign workers and opening our borders wide open while we had 40 million Americans unemployed. So ensuring that Americans get first dibs on those jobs when we reopen and making sure that we reopen immediately because our mental health is deteriorating as well. As people are isolated, this is not the way to go about it. People are being neglected. Suicide rates are skyrocketing. Opioid overdoses are skyrocketing, and that is because of the isolation. And they have created a situation where the cure was worse than the disease. You know, it's awful what is happening. And we need to focus on rebuilding our economy in a way that puts Americans first.
You mentioned a little bit that the economic piece of this. I want to jump into that a little bit more. Obviously, the pandemic has thrown the country into a recession. There's high levels still of unemployment. What role can Congress play in getting the economy back on track, especially if the pandemic lingers into 2021? And I guess I'm speaking more of long-term in terms of long-term recovery of the economy.
Right. Long-term and term. Well, ensuring that Americans have first dibs on those jobs. You know, if we're unemployed and we're not working and we brought foreigners in to replace us in the workforce while we were shut down, that economically will be so destructive to us. None of that money, a lot of that money does not stay here in the United States. It's sent back home to their country. So to ensure that these wages are being given to Americans and spent in America also will help with our economy.
Are there any other things you think can help the economy and help businesses, particularly businesses who were put under a lot of stress during this pandemic and remain under stress because they're not really fully able to operate yet?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I support full reopenings to full capacity, even per CDC guidelines. They said you didn't have to wear a mask if you're protesting. So I think that those same standards should apply to small businesses, and I think that they should be able to reopen to full capacity. I think they should have been reopened months ago. We're at a point now where families are having to shut their businesses down, and they are never going to reopen again. We're looking at that in the state of Delaware. Local small businesses, family small businesses, are never going to be able to recover, and we were not able to give them enough stimulus aid. I'm not really sure where all the stimulus money went. I know that there was a lot of issues within Congress arguing over where it was going, and, you know, had that money just gone to the people that were impacted the most by COVID-19, like the small businesses, and just the people themselves, the unemployed, instead of a lot of misspending going to the Kennedy Center. Like, why do we need money going there? And ensuring that it goes to, you know, rebuilding the American economy and to the people.
Are there some other things that, that Congress could do, or you would advocate if you get to Congress, in terms of, I guess, you know, whether it be tax breaks, whether it be more stimulus that can help either help these businesses avoid going under, or help people who do not have jobs find work as the economy reopens?
Right, yeah. So I support anything that makes it easier for people, Americans, to get married and have children. So if that requires more stimulus, say going to families with more children, does that require family-owned businesses? I will support it. You know, I'm not one of those people. No, I do not support raising our taxes, especially on the people. However, I do think that we need to take a more populist perspective in taking care of Americans first and ensuring that they're taken care of before anything else.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned briefly the protests, and the country has seen these throughout the spring and summer, focused on issues surrounding racial equity. Topics of debate on this have run the gamut from removing memorials and monuments and renaming sports teams to police reform and addressing racial disparities in areas such as housing or education. What do you believe Congress's role is in addressing some of these issues that have been brought up about racial equity?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, since 1965, we've incentivized the breakdown of the nuclear family. We have basically paid mothers to keep the fathers out of their home. Should they choose to get married, they'd lose all their benefits. And as a result, we're a global leader in single parenthood because we incentivized it. So, yes, there has been a target, especially on Black America, especially in our inner cities, because they have removed their fathers from their home. And what you're looking at with Black Lives Matter, you go right on their website, they support the breakdown of the nuclear family. The breakdown of the nuclear family is what has left America in this crisis in the first place. Pushing your fathers out of the home, breaking your families apart, has left us broken. It has left us addicted. It has left us incarcerated. And yes, I do specifically think that there are issues in Congress that we have basically enabled the target on Black America's back, and that is by incentivizing the breakdown of their families.
In what ways do you see that's happened through Congress, that they've incentivized this?
So since 1965, I believe it was Lyndon B. Johnson, they put economic or social welfare programs were created to incentivize fathers to stay out of the home. You know, they will lose their benefits if they choose to get married. I'd like to create a program that incentivizes marriage and family. You know, family is everything that America was founded on. And the fact that we have legislators in Congress who are marching with the same people who support the breakdown of the nuclear family, as it says right on our website, they're burning and looting our cities. They are throwing Black lives in the front lines of a race war to further their Marxist agenda.
The pandemic and these protests have pushed a lot of other issues that would likely have been the big focuses of this election cycle, things like health care, immigration, climate change, to the side. Is there one of those issues that you feel needs to be addressed with urgency by the next Congress?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Immigration. Everything comes down to immigration. Opioid epidemic, it's brought in through mass immigration. Job American worker displacement, brought in by mass immigration. And these were problems even before COVID-19. So it will always come down to immigration and ensuring that Americans are being put first. Right now, we have foreigners who are able to have free access to health care. We have foreigners who are coming, illegal aliens who are coming into our country who have access to free housing, while we have homeless veterans on the street. So we have got to get our immigration America's immigration system under control. So it will be immigration, yes.
Immigration is it touches on foreign policy in part. Is there another foreign policy issue that's facing this country that you consider a significant one, or you might consider the biggest foreign policy issue facing the country? And what should Congress be doing to address it?
Right. Yeah. So to support our troops is to bring them home. We spend billions of dollars on regime change wars when we could be using that money domestically here. We have a war on our southern border with these Mexican cartels. We have issues here in the United States, like I said before, the breakdown in the nuclear family. We could use that money to provide health care for Americans. We could use money that we are spending on these regime change wars to address American issues here at home.
I want to ask you a very Senate-specific question. That is, should the Senate consider doing away with the filibuster? Why or why not?
No, so the filibuster is only supposed to be used in extreme cases. However, I do not agree. I do not support abolishing the filibuster, no.
And finally, is there an issue that we haven't discussed that you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle? And how would you address it if elected?
Oh, yeah, well, always the opioid epidemic is something that our political class refuses to talk about, and also the breakdown of the nuclear family as well. We've done a really good job of villainizing fathers and pushing them out of the home, and that's something that also our political class refuses to talk about. Immigration is always a hot topic. However, American worker displacement goes along with that. And, you know, the Democrat Party, they're supposed to be the party of the worker. However, they are the most they are the ones who are supporting mass migration the most. So there's a plethora of issues that I feel like are not being addressed by our current political class and our current U.S. sitting senator, Chris Coons.
Lauren Witzke, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, we thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us on Canada Conversations.
Tom, thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
You can find all of our Canada Conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Canada Conversations are part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media, in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Tom Byrne. Thanks for listening.